Shir is Daf Kuf Mem Hey. We're going to begin in Daf Kuf Mem Beis Amud Beis, 6 lines from the bottom. As we've been learning for the last couple of days, the halachas of schita, of squeezing fruit, if it's mutter or asur, under what circumstances, juice that came out from a fruit, what is the halacha? Yesterday, we had said a very important fundamental yusoid in Hilchas Shechita. The definition of Shechita is taking a mashka, a liquid, mitoich oichel, from a food. But if you're taking a food from a food, that's not called Shechita, we said. And based on that heter, we will today continue learning what the Gemara says is the halacha lemaisa, when something may or may not be squeezed. Om Rabbi Huda Mishmul. So Rabbi Huda said in the name of Shmuel, Soicher Adam Eshkol Shanovim, a person could squeeze a cluster of grapes, or Toicha Gdeira, into a pot of food, Avaloyla Toicha Kara, and not into a bowl. Again, before we explain the Gemara, we have to say that what is the basis of the het of this Gemara? The basis of the het of this Gemara is that since this is going to be squeezed into food, that's not called schita. It's only schita when it's being squeezed into a liquid. So the simplest way of learning the Gemara is a kedera is a pot of food, and since you're squeezing it into food, that's why we don't have schita. Ka'ara is a bowl, or we would perhaps call it a cup, so you're squeezing it for juice, and that's why it's asr. What's going to be the halacha if there is food in the cup? Then it'll be mutter. Because whenever you're squeezing something into a food, it's considered you're squeezing a food from a food to a food, and it's mutter. On the other hand, what's going to be the halacha if the pot is empty, there is no food? Perhaps it would be asr, because you're not squeezing into a food, so you're squeezing mashka out of an oichel. And that's the way the halach is, that if there's food, it's mutter, if there is no food, it's asr. The Gemara uses kedera and kara only as examples. Kedera has food, kara doesn't have food. Other Rishonim want to learn like this, that kedera is always mutter, because even if there is no food, food is generally put into the kedera, and that's why it'll be mutter. And kara, even when it has food, is asr, because since usually kara doesn't have food, that's why you can't squeeze into it. But the halacha is you're allowed to squeeze into food. And that is the makor for what people do when they squeeze a lemon. They squeeze lemon that they want to have in their tea, so they don't squeeze the lemon directly into the tea, because that would be from an oichel from the lemon into the tea. What they do is they squeeze it onto some sugar, and that sugar is then put into the tea. There's a remez. The word sulam is the remez for how to make sugar, to make tea with lemon. Sugar, sulam, samach vav is the sukkar. First take the sukkar, then the lemon, is the lamed is for lemon, put the lemon into the sukkar, and then put that combination into the mem, into the mayim. Interestingly, the Chazon Ish doesn't agree. The Mishnah Berurah says that that's the way to make it. The Chazon Ish disagrees. The Chazon Ish says that even if you'll squeeze the lemon directly onto the sugar, so it's going onto an oichel, since ultimately what are you going to do with that new combination of sugar and lemon? You're going to put it into a mashka. So even though there was an intermediate step where the lemon juice was mixed with an oichel, that won't be mutter, since the ultimate goal is to mix it into a mashka. But as I said, it's interesting. The Mishnah Berurah says, in Shulchan Aruch, it says that if you squeeze something into an oichel, it's mutter. As we're going to learn, on Daf Kuf Mem Hei, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan says that even if you're squeezing into an oichel, l'chatchila, you shouldn't do it. Says the Ramah, Hamach metovelav bracha. He should never squeeze anything into, even into a food. But the Mishnah Berurah says, since Rav Rishonim don't agree with that shita, they agree that it's mutter to put into an oichel, you're allowed to rely on that. However, the Rishonim and Achronim both discuss that even if we're going to rely on the heter of squeezing something onto a food, you have to be careful that the food should really be the majority. That means if you're going to have a drop of sugar and you're going to squeeze lemon onto that sugar, lemons and lemons all on one drop of sugar, certainly that won't be mutter. There has to be a decent amount of food. Some Rishonim say that the food gets improved by the liquid. But just because you're going to take a piece of breadcrumb that has no connection to the fruit that you're squeezing or the vegetable that you're squeezing onto it, there would be no heter. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda said, "Medivri Rabbeinu Nilmad, based on what we just learned, the halacha would be chayil of adam eiz l'toich hagdera. Somebody can milk a goat into a pot, avloy l'toich hakara, but not into a bowl. Again, because since you're milking it into a pot, it's coming from an oichel into an oichel." Says Tosfos that this heter would be strictly on yontif, because since on yontif you're allowed to shecht an animal, as we've learned many times. So you're taking this oichel from one oichel, you're taking the milk, which we're calling now an oichel because it's going into food, from an oichel, the animal, which is also food because it could be eaten on yontif, it could be slaughtered on yontif. But let's say on Shabbos, when you're not allowed to slaughter an animal, so the animal is not a food, it's actually a psilus, it's useless to you, you can't slaughter it. So taking the oichel out of the animal would be taking oichel mitaycha psilus, it's something that you can eat, and would be awesome. And Rav Chisda was saying his halacha only in Yontif. Says Tosfos. Other Rishonim disagree with Tosfos, and they say that that on Shabbos really an animal is also an oichel. You can't say that something is that an animal is psoilus. An animal is an oichel. Just what? There's a separate issue that we're not allowed to slaughter on Shabbos, but that doesn't make it lose its status of a oichel, and that's why the Gemara would apply even to Shabbos. Alma, but what is the bottom line of these halachas? That kesavar mashka habala oichel oichel hu. That something would ultimately put into a food already has the status of a food, not as a beverage. Ask the Gemara Masur Rabbi Bachama. So before we say this Gemara, let's review something that we learned as recently as yesterday. All foods, in order to be able to be susceptible to tumah, to be able to be makabel tumah, have to be mukshel kabel tumah. How is something mukshel kabel tumah? By making it wet with one of the beverages. That halacha only applies to oichel, to food. There is no din of hechsher. There is no requirement that liquids become mukshel. Ask the Gemara, the halacha is zov shechayil v'sa'ez, if a zov is milking a goat, the halach is hacholef tamei. The milk is tamei. Now let's ask the Gemara. The amrit mashka haba lo'oichlin oichlehu, that if a liquid is going to be used for a food, it has the status of food. And if it has the status of food, it has to be mukshur, b'mayis kasher. How was this milk that the zov now milked and supported the milk, and that's why it became tamei, because it came in contact with him, mekabel tumah? It was never mukshur. And this milk, it may look to you like a beverage, but halachically, it's a food. Because we're saying that any liquid that will be used for food has the status of a food. And it says the Gemara, k'ram rab yoichran, betipa mulchlechas apiyadad. When they used to milk an animal or a human, they used to have a piece, they used to take a drop of milk and put it on the nipple. That makes the nursing process better. The first drop of milk that gets milked from the animal is smeared on the nipple, on the udder. That is not going to be used as a food. It's going to be used as a beverage. And that beverage, every other drop of milk, which does have a halachic status of food, as it comes out of the animal, will first touch that drop of milk, which is a beverage. And milk is one of the beverages that's machshir food, the kabbalton. Ask the Chazon Ish, so he doesn't understand. We just learned a minute ago. The Rav Chisda said you're allowed to milk an animal, at least on Yontif, according to Tosfos. Because you're milking it for food. So it's going from one food to another food. But we just said that in every milking process, there's a drop of milk that's not going to be just food. It's going to be used as a liquid. to help the nursing process or the milking process. So how could you tell me that it's mutter to milk? You're milking, part of the milking process is being done for milk, not for food, for beverage. And even if you'll tell me it's less than the shear, we know, says the Chazon Ish, the chatzi shear is awesome in a Torah. So that's why the Chazon Ish says, and the basis of there are a lot of terutzim said to this kasha, but the basis to all the terutzim is that the concept of what's called a beverage for Hilchos Shabbos and what's called a beverage for Hilchos Tumah is not necessarily identical. For example, here, this drop of milk that's being taken out, that's going to be used for to help the nursing process, is a beverage for Hilchos Tumah, as we just learned. But it's a beverage that's ultimately going to get dried up. So that's why for Hilchos Shabbos it's not called a mashka. Or other mefarshim say it's a beverage that's never visible, it's down by the udder. What's considered a beverage that's a liquid for Hilchos Shabbos? Something that's visible. This is not visible. So since it's not even if it is a beverage for Hilchos Tumah, it's not going to be considered a beverage as far as Hilchos Shabbos is concerned, and that's why if the rest of the milk is being used for food, it would be mutter. Masa Ravina. So Ravina asked another question. The halacha is that for a food to give Tumah, to give off Tumah, it has to be the size of a kebeya. So it says in a braisa, Tamei Meis Yisachad Zeisim V'Anovim. If a Tamei Meis was squeezing olives or grapes, kebeya mechuvenes, and the olive or the grape is exactly the size of a kebeya, tahar. The juice that comes out will be tahar. Why? Because by the time the juice comes out, you don't have the size of kebeya of grape, because you only started off with a beya, and part of that beya was the juice that just was emitted. So therefore, they will not be mekabel tumah. But what is the obvious inference from the spicer, her yois mikabeya, that if the grape you started off with was larger than a beya, so even when a drop of juice comes out, it's still a beya left, then the halach will be tamei, that this juice that comes out is tamei. Ask the Gemara, v'amid mashka bala oichel oichel hu, if you're going to say that every food, that every beverage that comes out has the status of oichel, which we say has to be mukshur, how is this juice? It looks like juice to you, but it's really oichel, and it has to be mukshur. So good, you're starting off with a grape that's bigger than a kebeya, and it could give off tumma, but it could only give off tumma to something that was mukshur, and this was a mukshur, but my is kasher. How was a mukshur? Says the Gemara, who meisul of whom mefarakla, he was the one that asked the question, he wants to answer it. B'soich l'toich hakara, yes, we're only talking a case where somebody squeezed the grape into a cup, where he wants it as a beverage. But yes, if he would squeeze it into a food, even though we started off with a grape that's larger than a kebeya, the halacha is that this juice would not be tamei, because it's never mukshar. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah. So the Gemara wants to say that this issue, that if a beverage is extracted to be put in a food, does it have the status of food, or does it have the status of beverage, is a machlokes tanoim. It says in the Mishnah, Hamachlok banovim, the bakers used to smear on their loaves of bread, on challah, grapes, so the crust should be shiny. So the halacha is, if somebody smears a bread with grape juice, loy hukshar, the grapes do not become susceptible to tumma through contact with the juice that comes out of them. Rabbi Yehuda says, hukshar, that they do become mukshar, that the grapes of which the juice came out of now are susceptible to tumma. My lap, what's the machlokes? Brokumethkli. Masab mashka bala oichel oichelhu. The Tanakhama holds that since this juice that's going out is going to be used on a food and has the status of a food, food can't be machshir something. The only thing that can be machshir the grapes is a beverage. But this juice that's coming out, again, it looks to you like a juice, but it's not juice. Halachically, it's food because it's going to be used to food. So it doesn't have the ability to be machshir the grapes. A masover, lavachlu. It is a beverage. It looks like a juice, so it has the status of grape juice. And that's what's machshir the grapes. Rapapa says, Lord, no, it could be the kulama mashka bala oichel lavachlu. Both, everybody agrees that that what he called that mashke that comes out of a, it's going to be used for an oichel, is not considered an oichel. So I was like, if so, why isn't it mashke? For hachav mashke bali ibud kamufki. Here we're talking about a beverage that's extracted that it will ultimately not be here. Masav mashkehu, that it still has the din of a mashke. So although the juice will evaporate through the baking process, it still has the status of mashka, and it could be mashka the grapes, or masav alav mashkehu. Since it's going to evaporate, we don't give it the status of juice, and it can't be mashka the grapes. Says the Gemara, or plukta dahani tanoi, we have the same machloikis elsewhere, the Tanya. Hamefatz bezeisim, somebody bruises olives. They used to do this to soften the olives so they could become sweet. Biyadayim misuavis, with hands that weren't washed, which we learned at the beginning of Masech, the hands that weren't washed are tamei, hochsher. Those grapes become susceptible to tumah through contact with the oil that comes out from them. Why? Since, as Rashi explains, he wants that oil, the way of sweetening the olives is by extracting the oil. So that's oil that's lerotzen. Again, a concept we discussed yesterday. And that's why they have the ability to be machshir the olives. L'sarsim ha-melech. However, if the purpose of bruising the olives is only that they should be able to be dipped in salt, that the salt will stick to them, loy hochshir. They do not become susceptible. Since he doesn't want that oil, because the only reason he's bruising the olive is just to make it able to have the salt stick to it, so then it's not oil l'rotzen that he wants to come out. And if you don't want that beverage to touch the olive, there's no rotzen, there's no hechsher. How about, says the Bryce Mishnah, lay them he gives ace of limskoikum lav. He brews them to know whether the olives are ripe enough that they should be picked. Loy hechsher. So the Tanakhama says they don't become susceptible. Rabbi Huda says, "B'chusher, even if he only bruises them to check whether they're ready to be picked, they become susceptible to tuma with the oil that comes out from them." My love, Balkamifki, what's the machlokes? The mass of a mashkahayim ibud mashkahu. Rabbi Huda holds that a beverage which is meant to be discarded is still considered a mashka, and that's why even though this oil that drips out that was taken out just to see if the grapes, if the olives are ready, is a mashka, and they will be machshir the olives. Or masover, and the Tanakam holds la machshahu, and that's why the oil is not susceptible to tumah. Says the Gemara that even though we have there the machloikis of mashka ha'olich li'ibud, by the case of the grapes that are bruised, it does not necessarily get related to the grape juice, to the olives that were bruised. It does not necessarily relate itself to the question of the grape juice that's smeared on the challah. Arav from the Brei Yeshua. Hanitanai b'mashka oimed l'ibud kamifki. Yes, the machloikis by the olives was a question about olive oil that's going to be ultimately discarded. What is the halacha? However, v'hanitanoi, the machloikis by the chalas smeared with the grape juice is a machloikis regarding the mashka ha'omer latzachzukai kamikli. They're arguing if the only purpose of the beverage is to lend shine to the food, is that considered a beverage or not? Because even if we'll say that a mashka that's going to be used for an oichel retains its status of a beverage, maybe that's only true when it's going to be used as a beverage. But here, it's being used only for shine, so that's why it's not considered a beverage at all. And the other mandama says that no, I'll really tell you the mashka bol oichel is a oichel, and even a mashka is considered a mashka, and the same thing when it's used for a shine. A person could squeeze grapes into a pot of food, but not into a bowl. Because when you take it into a bowl of food, it's an oichel. When you take it into a kara, it's a mashka. So that would be oichel to a mashka, which is schita. But if somebody as squeezing out the brine from a fish, afilo tochakara. Even if you're squeezing it into a cup, it'll be mutter. Why? Because fish brine is never considered a beverage, it's always considered a food. Yosra Avdimi v'kamal ha'shmatza. So Avdimi was saying this Gemara. Amrei Abaya l'Ravdimi. So Abaya said to Ravdimi, At Mishmei the Rab Misnisalon, you just said over this din in the name of Rav, v'lekashachu, and you have no questions. However, Anna Mishmei the Shmuel Misnisalon, we learned this halacha in the name of Shmuel, the kashalon, we had a kasha. What's the kasha? Mi am Shmuel daglet siroi. Afilo tachikera, that Shmuel, yes, say, that you're allowed to squeeze fish brine out of the fish, even if you're squeezing it straight into a cup with no food. Vitmar, kvashim shesachtam, squeezing out the liquid from pickled vegetables. Amirav, legufan, if you're squeezing them out for themselves, in other words, that's the way you want to eat the, it's easier to eat the vegetable. Taloch is mutter, you're allowed to do so. Im, lemeimeim, if you're doing it because you want the liquid, potav losser, it's only osam midrabbanan. So Rashi explains, why is it only osam midrabbanan? If you want the liquid, shouldn't that be schita? So Rashi says, a very big chiddush. Rashi says, since the juice in these pickled vegetables are not the natural juice from the vegetable, they just got that juice from the pickling process that it sat in water, there is no issa schita. So all the Rishonim ask Rashi, we learned the halacha that you're not allowed to use a wet rag to clean the table on Shabbos. Why? Schita. Because you soichet the water out of the rag. Now that water isn't naturally in the rag. Put the water into the rag. Yet, we know it's schita. And we know that it's a deraisa schita, the Rishonim explain, because Chazal made a gzera, that you're not allowed to use a sponge without a handle, even if you're not necessarily going to squeeze out water, because we may come to squeeze out water. If even if when you squeezed out the water, there would be no deraisa, Chazal went to made a gzera. So how could Rashi say here that since the water in these pickled vegetables are not there from itself, there's no schita? So that's why the other Rishonim learned the Gemara with a different halach, that they say that this is shloike derech, this is not what's done normally. You normally don't squeeze out pickled vegetables for the juice, and that's why there is no schita deraisa. However, we have to try to answer Rashi. So Chasam Sofer answers Rashi. He says that Rashi sticks to his position that schita is only when the water, the liquid is there naturally. I had a question from the rag. That, Rashi will say, is not because of schita, the issur over there is malabim. However, the Sfas Emes says a very nice teretz. Sfas Emes says a different teretz. He says that Rashi doesn't require that the water, the liquid, be there naturally in all cases. Yes, by a rag that gets wet, there is schita and schita medaraisa. By fruits and vegetables, that's where, only there does Rashi require that the water, the liquid, be there naturally. And if it's not there naturally, there is no schita deraisa. What's the difference between the rag and the vegetables? So the Sem says like this. When you make a rag wet, he says, that the water and the rag become one item. Not if you squeeze out the water, you're squeezing out the water from its home, so to speak. In a vegetable that you pickled, it's not that the vegetable and the water become one. And now when you squeeze out that liquid, you're squeezing out something from its home. It's only there like in a closet. It's only stored there. Mifkat pocket are the words of the Sfas Emes. And that's why there is no schita d'oraisa. Continues the Gemara. But what about boiled vegetables? Whether you squeeze them out because you want because it makes the fruit better, the vegetable better, or you want the liquid, mutter. Rav holds that since people generally don't squeeze out boiled vegetables, so the liquid they contained is viewed not as a beverage, as a food, and therefore you're allowed to squeeze the vegetable even if your goal is to obtain the liquid. The Shmuel Amar, but Shmuel says that Echid kvash of echid shlokas, whether we're dealing with pickled or boiled vegetables, lagufon mutter, if you're doing it just to be able to eat the vegetable, it's mutter, lemei mayem, but if you're doing it to get the liquid, even both by pickled and by cooked, shlokas means cooked a lot, vegetables, it's patav alasur. Now, fish brine is equivalent to the liquid contained in boiled vegetables. So how could Shmuel say that you're allowed to squeeze out, under all circumstances, the fish for its brine? Isn't this the same? Amalei, so Rav Dimi said, Halakim, Eloshin Shvua, Ein Eroi V'Lezar, I saw, not a stranger, I noticed myself, Mepumi de Rav Yemi Shmilei, I heard this from Rav Yemiya, Rav Yemiya from Rav Zeira, Rav Yemiya heard it from Rav Zeira, Rav Zeira Bachei Barashi, Rav Chi Barashi heard it from Rav. This din, that the fish could always be squeezed out for its brine, it was not Shmuel, which would lead us to a question that said it, it was Rav. And according to Rav, just like he said, you're allowed to squeeze out the shlokas, he's going to also hold you allowed to squeeze out the fish. Gufa. Says the Gemara, Kvashim Sheshachton, regarding squeezing out pickled vegetables, Amar Rav, so this is what we just learned, Lagufam, if you're doing it to make them edible, mutter, you're allowed to do it. L'meimeim, if you're doing it to get the liquid, patav alos, it's awesome drabonin. The shlokas, but the boiled vegetables, bein legufim, bein lememeim, whatever your purpose is, mutter, you're allowed to squeeze them out. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel holds echadzeh, echadzeh, boiled vegetables and pickled vegetables have the same status. L'meimeim, legufim mutter, if your goal is to make the vegetable edible, it's mutter. L'meimeim, if you're doing it to get the liquid, patav alosim. And now we have a third opinion, which is very machmer, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, echad kvashim v'echad shlokas, legufam mutar, if you're doing it to be able to eat the vegetable, it's mutar, l'memeyem, if you're doing it for the water, chayif chatis. Rabbi Yochanan says that you have a chayif chatis under all circumstances. Meisvei, so ask the Gemara from a braisa, which at first reading this braisa, won't fit with any of the shittas we just learned. Sarchim kvashois, b'shabbos l'tzarech shabbos. We could squeeze pickled vegetables on Shabbos for Shabbos. Avaloi l'matzah Shabbos. But not if your goal is matzah Shabbos, because you're not allowed to prepare on Shabbos for matzah Shabbos. V'zeis v'anovim, what about olives and grapes? Lo yischot. You're not allowed to squeeze them ever. V'm sochet, if somebody did squeeze them, chayiv chattis. There's a chayiv chattis. Now, this braisa does not distinguish between somebody who squeezes pickled vegetables if he's trying to get their liquid or if he's trying to make them fit to eat. He says that Bryce says it's permissible. So we see that you're allowed to squeeze vegetables even for the liquid. Nobody said that you're allowed to do that. Even Rav didn't say that. So Kash L'Rav, Kash L'Shmuel, and Kash L'Rav Yochanan. Says Rav Matasal Tameh, Rav will be able to try to explain it according to his Shita, Shmuel Matasal Tameh according to his Shita, and Rav Yochanan Matasal Tameh according to the Shita. Rav Matasal Tameh, Sarchin Kfash Mishabbos, Lutzarech Shabbos. You're allowed to squeeze pickled vegetables on Shabbos if your goal is for Shabbos, Avaloy Lamatza Shabbos, you're not allowed to do anything on Shabbos for Matza Shabbos. But Medvam, when was this said, Lagufam, when you want to squeeze them out to be able for the vegetables for themselves? Avil Mameim, if you're doing it to obtain the liquid, Pata Velos, it's awesome Drabonim. Vishlokos, regarding boiled vegetables, Bein Lagufam, Bein Lamameim Mutter. Then, matter what your purpose is, it's Mutter. Vizayis Vanovim, regarding olives and grapes, Lo Yischot, you know, squeeze them, Vim Sochet, there is a Chiv Chattis. Shmuel Matasa Tamei, Sochet, Vishvashim Shabbos, Vitzarech Shabbos. You're allowed to squeeze pickled vegetables, Vitzarech Shabbos. V'hu adin l'shlokas and shlokas, boiled vegetables have the same din as cooked vegetables, as pickled vegetables. V'medvar amurim l'gufam. If you're doing it for the vegetables themselves, if you're doing it for the liquid, pata avalosur, it's awesome drabonim, both by kvashim and both by shlokas. V'zeis v'anovim, olives and grapes, lo yischot, v'm sochat, chayiv chattis. Rabbi Yochanan mitaras l'tamei. Sochat and kvashim shabbos l'tzarech shabbos. You're allowed to squeeze pickled vegetables with tzarech Shabbos, avloy lematzah Shabbos. And echad shlok kvashim v'echad shlokas, pickled and boiled vegetables have the same din. When was that said, legufim, if you're only doing it for the vegetables themselves? Avl memeim, if you're doing it for the liquid, daloch is lo yitzchot, you're now out of squeezing. Vim sochat, nasa kamisha sochat zeis v'anovim, if you do it, it's considered like you squeezed olives or grapes, where there is a chiyav chattis. Amar Rav Chibar Ashi Amar Rav Dva Torah Midaraisa Eina Chayiv Ela Al Drisa Zeisim Anam Bulvad. There's only a Chayiv Schita, there's only Issa Daraisa regarding olives and grapes. Why? Because those are fruits which are the beverage is used as a beverage, so squeezing them out has a deraisa of squeezing a beverage from a food. Anything else, the beverage is not really necessarily considered a beverage, and there is no issa deraisa. V'chein tana de beib anasha, dvar toira midaraisa, en chayiv el al drisa zeisim anam bulvad, only by a fruit or a vegetable that the beverage, that it's miyuchad for the beverage. So like all the paiskim say, nowadays what about an orange that's used for orange juice would have the same din as Zeisim v'anovim. Also, it's interesting, there's a Me'iri, which is quoted by the Minchas Chinuch, who says that even by Zeisim v'anovim, the only time there's an Issa d'oraisa is when they're taken off the tree. But if they're still on the tree, there would be no Issa d'oraisa, because it's ein darkoi. It's not the derech to squeeze something when it's still on the tree. Continues the Gemara, v'ein eid mipi eid kosher. One aid that says something because they heard it from another aid is not kosher witness. Ella aid is isha bavad. The only time it's kosher regarding testimony of a woman whose husband is disappeared, and we want to know if and we want to be able to let her get married again. She should not be an aguna. So chazal will make that we could rely on aid mipi eid. Now there's a Rashi explains. How can we rely on Eid Mipi Eid? So Rashi says like this: when we get married, we say Harayat Mekadeshes Li Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael Kol Mekadesh Adat Ad Rabbanu Mekadesh. Whoever marries a woman does it according to the dictates of what the Chazal, what the Rabbanim say, and the Rabbanim have a right to annul a marriage. So the Rabbanim, Rashi say, exercised their right. And they said that if a woman's husband is missing, we could rely on one aid, or we could rely on aid mipi aid, and let her get married. Ask the Rashba. The Gemara Masechta Yevamos says that let's say such a story happened, Chas v'Shalom. A woman's husband was missing, and aid mipi aid came and said that I could tell you her husband is dead. We go and we let her get married to a second man, and then the first husband shows up. Says the Gemara, Teitzim Mizemizet, she has to divorce both husbands, and the children from the second husband are Mamzerim. Why are they Mamzerim? Because she was still an Eshes Ish. She was still a married woman when she married him. Ask the Rashba if, according to Rashi, Afkin Rabbanu L'Kedushim Minei, the Chazal annulled the first marriage under these circumstances, so why is she still a married woman? Chazal annulled her first marriage. So therefore the Rashba says that the Gemara in Masechta Yevamos adds one more point to the issue of this woman. It says, Isha Daiko Mintzaba. A woman is careful before she gets remarried. So says the Rashba, this Darashi that the Gemara is saying that Chazal annulled the marriage, they only annulled the marriage based on the fact that the woman properly investigated and determined that her first husband is dead. Here, where the first husband showed up, obviously she did not do the proper investigation, and Chazal never annulled that marriage under those circumstances. The Noid of Yehuda says a different teretz, interesting teretz. He says there's a difference on what basis she got remarried. If she got remarried based on an eid echod, then the halacha is we don't rely. Then and the first husband shows up, then she can't. She the children are mamzerim. That's not Algamar. He says Algamar is talking Eid Mipi Eid. You have two Eidim, but they didn't see it themselves. It was only hearsay. This case, she would be able, her children would not be Mamzerim. It's a very big chiddush. Ask the Gemara, Ibailu, Eid Mipi Eid, Leidus B'chamahu. The halach is that a Vachar is born, an animal Vachar is born, it's given to a Kayan. The Kayan is supposed to bring that animal as a carbon. But if the animal is a Balmum, or becomes a Balmum, then the Kohen can keep it for himself. So they were concerned that Kohanim used to make blemishes in the animal, so they shouldn't have to bring it as a carbon. So if a Kohen showed up with a blemish Bechor, he had to bring a witness that he didn't put in that blemish. So now the question is, Eid mipi Eid l'Eid b'chor mahu? Could we rely on Eid mipi Eid on Eid b'chor? Rav Ami asur. Rami said you can't. Rav Ashi Shari Rasi said you can. Amalei Rav Ami l'Rav Ashi. Vatana de Bemanashia said Ein Eid mipi Eid kosher ela Eid d'Isha b'vad. It's only kosher for Eid d'Isha. So how could you even have a havamina that it should be acceptable? Ema le'edus. So answer the Gemara. You know what it means. Ema le'edus ishik shir labavad. Where is an eid mipi eid acceptable? In any case where a woman is acceptable as a witness, and since a woman is acceptable to say witness that the kohen did not make the blemish in the bechor, so too eid mipi eid should be mutter. Rav Yaima, and says the Gemara, ach she eid mipi eid lebechor. He relied on an eid mipi eid for bechor. Correlate, they called him Merema. Correlate, Merema. Merema called him Yemer Shari Bechor. Yemer, the person who makes Bechor and Mutter. The Hilchasa, but the Halach is Eid Mi Eid Kashal Bechor. It is Kashal Bechor. The Sfas Emes makes a point. He says, in our Gemara, it seems to say that Eid Mi Pi Eid, or Eid Echod, is only reliable in certain cases. Bechor, Aguna. But ask the Sfas Emes, we always rely on Eid Echad. In our kitchens, in our homes, we have an Eid Echad saying that everything is kosher, and based on that we eat. So how could you tell me that's only in very limited situations? So the Sfas Emes says like this. There are two concepts. There's a concept of testimony, of Eidus, and there's a concept of Gili Milsa, just telling me the situation. The case of Bechor, the case of Isha, is Eidus, it's testimony. Normally we need two kosher witnesses. This cases that we just learned are exceptions. Telling us that everything in the house is kosher is not Eidus, it's a Gili Milsa. It's only telling us a situation. That's not Eidus, and certainly there's no requirement for two Eidus. We learned in the Mishnah, Chalos Davash, of honeycombs were chopped before Shabbos, and then the honey oozed out from them on Shabbos. We had a Machloek, Tanakama says it's also to eat that honey, and Rav Elazar says it's mutter. Kiyosar of Oishim and Hado, Osav Aisim Asnis B'Yodei. He came with the following brisa. Seisav Anom Shuruskim Erev Shabbos. Olives or grapes that were chopped before Shabbos. V'yotzma Atzmam. And then juice oozed out from them on Shabbos. Asurim, you're not allowed to drink that juice. Why? V'choshe Shem Yisrat. You may come to squeeze. V'v'loz Rav Shem Matirim. They say you're allowed to consume that juice. Om Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef asked him, what are you telling me with this brisa? Gavri Yiseros Lashminin? You want to just add another person? That our Mishnah, we only had Rav Elazar, and now you're also telling me Rav Shimon. So that's not a significant chiddush. Omle Abaya, so Abaya said, Tuva Kamashma. No, there's a very big chiddush. Dimas Nisan, if I only had a Mishnah, Hosam Hu. Only in the case of our Mishnah, when we're dealing with honey. Dimikara Uchla. Honey is a food in the beginning, before it's extracted from the honeycomb. Ulub Saif Uchla. And it remains a food in the end, after it oozes out from the comb. That's where Rabbi Elazar was makel. Aval Hocha. The Makar Uchla. The beginning is starting with an olive or a grape. Ulub Saif Mashkim. But now it's a juice. And everybody agrees that grape juice or olive oil is a juice. Emeloi. Even maybe Rabbi Elazar will agree that you're not allowed to drink it. That may be more of a chshash or shemi yischot, kamash melon, that Rebbe Lezer is makel not only by honey, he's even makel by anovim and zeisim. As the Rishash, here it says that honey is considered an oichel, but we know that honey is considered a liquid, because as we've been saying, honey is one of the mashkim that's machsher food for Kabbalah's tuma. So how can you call honey an oichel? So answer the Mefarshim, something that we said at the beginning of the shiur. From here we see that what's considered an oichel for Shabbos, or what's considered a mashka for Shabbos, is not necessarily the same din as tumah. Tumah, honey, is considered a mashka, and for Shabbos, honey is considered an oichel. We begin now learning the sugya of bishul achar bishul. If something was cooked from before Shabbos, what are you allowed to do in terms of warming it up on Shabbos or not? Says the Mishnah, Kosher Baba Cham Erev Shabbos, anything that was put into hot water and was cooked before Shabbos, and as a machlok Rishonim, to what degree was it cooked? Rashi says, Shnez Bashel, which seems to mean that it was completely cooked before Shabbos. Tosfos disagrees, he says, as long as it was cooked, Kamacha Ben Drusoy, a third, Daloch is Shoinus Abacham in Shabbos. We may soak it in hot water in Shabbos, and we're even allowed to soak it on a Kli Rishon. But even though we're allowed to soak it in a Kli Rishon, we're certainly not allowed to put it on a pot on a fire, because as we learned in Parakira, that would be a issue of Chazorah. For kol shloy babacham erev Shabbos, anything that was not placed into hot water before Shabbos, the halach is medichnoi soy bishcham b'Shabbos. We can rinse it with hot water on Shabbos. Now, there's machloikis, how, with what kind of hot water we can rinse it. Some say that we can rinse it with iri Kli Rishon. We can rinse it even with water that's in a Kli Rishon. Others want to say that we could only rinse it with Kli Sheni, with water that's being poured out of a Kli Sheni, but not out of water that's in a Kli Rishon. Iri Kli Rishon is Mevasha. Chutz, what's the exception? Namliach HaYoshin, aged salted fish, Vekoyas Espanim, salted Spanish mackerel, which we may not even rinse with hot water on Shabbos. Rinsing them completes the preparation, and therefore it's an act of cooking. Ask the Gemara. The Gemara wants to know what kind of food that's already cooked would you want to soak in hot water? Amar Rav Safra, kagoyin tanagoyel to the Reb Abba, like the chicken that was eaten by Reb Abba, which even though it was cooked, they would let it sit and soak in hot water for many days until it would dissolve. Amar Rav Safra. One time I came to Yisrael to Rabbi Abba's home, and they fed us this dish. If not that Rabbi Abba gave me wine, which is 3 years old, to drink, it's nasi. I would have been compelled to vomit because this food was terrible. Now, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Raik Mikutach Debavli. Rabbi Yochanan, who was from Yisrael, would spit upon remembering the taste of the Kutach HaBavli, was a dip made out of breadcrumbs and whey, and he said he couldn't take that food. So basically what was happening here is the person from Bavel didn't like the Israeli food, and the person from Eretz Yisrael did not like the Bavel food. Amar Rav Yosef, V'leil k'anam mitanaglos der Rabba. He said, just like you don't like our food, we have good reason not to like your food, the food, the chicken of Rav Abba. For oid, and furthermore, what are you telling me that the Kutach HaBavli is not good? Amar Rav Gaza, Zim Nechada Klius Lahosim. I once came to Bavel, for Avdus Kutach HaBavli, and they prepared Kutach HaBavli, Sham and Kol Brichim Marova, and all the sick people from Eretz Yisrael wanted Dafka to eat it. So don't tell me that the Yisrael, the good people, don't like Kutach HaBavli. They like it very much. Hidiach Mai. What is the halacha if somebody rinsed this mackerel with hot water on Shabbos? Amar Rav Yosef, Hidiach, if somebody did it, Chayiv Chatas. There's the Isser Daraisa. Amar Rav Reider Ravina, Afanan Nam Tanina, Chutz Mimaliach Hayoshim, Koyutz Aspanim, Shadachosan Zugman Malachtam, washing them off with hot water is considered their final preparation, and it's considered an act of cooking. Shmamina, we see that's a Daraisa. It's very interesting. From Rashi and from many Rishonim, what is the Isser? The Isser is Bishel. It's called cooking. Other Rishonim want to say that the Isser is Makah B'Patish, that you're making the food edible, and because you're making the food edible, that and you, so it's Makah B'Patish, you're making something complete. The Rishonim that don't say Makah B'Patish say ain't Makah B'Patish B'Oichlim. There is no concept of Makah B'Patish by food, which would be a very relevant shaila aloch l'maisa. The question is, how could you make a coffee on Shabbos? Because even if we'll say that the coffee, the actual coffee, is already cooked, and it's a davar yavesh, it's a dry item, so there's no problem of bishul achav bishul, but making the drink should be considered Makah B'Patish. So if we say, as most Rishonim say, a Makah B'Patish ba'ichlin, so that's why there's no problem. There's no Bishul, and there's no Makah B'Patish. But according to Rishonim that explain our Gemara, because of Makah B'Patish, we need to understand, how could you make a coffee? And it may even be also, even with cold, even if the water is not very hot, you're still making it into a drinkable drink. Yosra v'chibar abav rav asi kamed rav yochan. Yosra v'yavim kam namnim. Rabbi Yamin was dozing. Amram Chibar Abel Ravasi. Menema Oifish of a Bubble Shemenim. Why the birds from Bubble fatter than the birds from Eretz Yisrael? Amle, Kalech Lamid Ba'aza, go to Aza, which is part of Etz Yisrael, v'arech shmeinim mehem, and I'll show you birds that are even fatter than them. So then he asked him, my Adam shebavol smeichim, why the yom toivim in Bavel more joyous than those in Etz Yisrael? So he said, "M'nei she'aniim, they're poor, and therefore they can't rejoice all year, but at least on Yom Tov they can rejoice." So he said, "M'nei ma tamidim chamim shebavol mitzionim, why do tamidim chamim in Bavel wear beautiful clothing?" So Rav Asi answered, "L'fish ain't a b'nei Torah, because they're not tamidim chamim. Therefore," Rashi explains, "the order for them to get respect, the only way to get respect is if they dress nicely." That's one pshat. But the Dugna Magid says a different pshat. The Dugna Magid says that pshat is that he says a story like this. Somebody once met him in a city and he was wearing very plain clothing. Then they found him in another city and he was wearing fancy clothing. So he said, "You're not accustomed to wearing such fancy clothing. Why all of a sudden do we see you wearing such nice clothing?" So he said like this. In the first city, the people who lived in that city were Talmidei Chachamim. So since they were Talmidei Chachamim, I came into the shul, and we started to talk and learning, and they saw who I was. In the second city, they weren't Talmidei Chachamim. So how would they respect me? They're not going to respect me from when they hear me talking and learning, because they don't appreciate that. That's why I had to put on nice clothing. L'fish ein b'nei Torah doesn't go on the Talmidei Chachamim. L'fish ein b'nei Torah goes on the people in the city. The people in the city aren't b'nei Torah, so they can't appreciate a Talmid Chacham for his learning. They can only appreciate him because he dresses nicely, but not that his kavana was to be ostentatious. Another pshat I saw from the Ben Ishchai is like this. In Eretz Yisrael, there were generations, families of Talmidei Chachamim, one generation after another. So those people, everybody knew were Talmidei Chachamim. However, in Bavel, there wasn't this Mesorah. So people, even if a person was a real Talmid Chacham, nobody knew he was a Talmid Chacham. He didn't come from a family. There was no Mesorah. So the only way that he could elicit the respect was by wearing the nice clothing. Why are goyim impure? Because they eat shkotzim v'rmashim. Isba Rabbi Yochan. Rabbi Yochan woke up. Amalahu, Dadaki, small children. Lo kachma atelchem. Didn't I tell you? Emor lechachma achoisiat. Tell chachma that you're my sister. Im bar lecha adovek achoischa. Shesur lecha. If something is clear to you, like your sister, amreyu, vimlah. But if you're not sure, al tamreyu. And what you're saying is not true. Amalei, v'lo mamar is mentioned. Now you answer us the questions. So Rabbi Yochanan does. Neima oifas shebavol shmeinim. Why are the oifas in Bavel, the birds in Bavel, fatter? Neshlei golu. They never went into exile. Shneimar shanan moyav menu'urav. Moyav has been tranquil from its youth. Al shmarav. It sat in its place. Ubegol aloi holach. And therefore, and it never went into golus. And therefore, it has not changed. V'hocha. How do we know that the birds of Eretz Yisrael went into Golus? The Tanya of Yehuda Omer, Chamish Mishtaim Shana Lo Ever Ish B'Yehuda. For 52 years, nobody went into Yehuda. Shnema Al Os Al Aharim Es B'Chi V'Nei. On the destruction of the hills, I cry. Mi'Oif Hashemayim V'Behema. From birds to animals, not do Holchu. They all have wandered and gone. Behema, the word behemah, but gematria chamish mishtarat anav is 52. Those are the 52 years that nobody was in Etzisro, that Etzisro was abandoned. And Amar of Yaakov, Amar of Yochanan, kulan chazru. Everybody returned to Etzisro after the Golos, chutz mikilis espanim, except the Spanish rock. Dom Rav, hani madri de bovel, the slopes of bovel, mahadri mayim le bein atom, return the water to an atom. Now, that means you have to go from Bavel Tetzisrol. For high, the Spanish mackerel, which means swimming uphill. Kim de Leishar Shidre, since it doesn't have a strong backbone, so it's hard for it to swim uphill against the current, and that's why Lematzisolok, it cannot go from Bavel Tetzisrol.